let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Greetings from Sweet Air Farm by Arthur T. Johnson is a collection of human interest stories from a family living on a small farm and engaging in farm activities. It includes interesting descriptions of incidents encountered over the years. Now, most of these stories have been shared with family, friends, farmers market customers through a weekly email message that has proven quite popular. Arthur moved to a farm near the little town of Darlington in northeastern Maryland with his family back in 1972. After serving with the U.S. Army in Vietnam at the rank of captain and receiving the Army Commendation Medal and Bronze Star Medal, and working for a year at Edgewood Arsenal in Maryland. The family farm, now known as Sweet Air Farm, Arthur is now retired from the University of Maryland and from a distinguished career as a bioengineer. Arthur was recipient at the Institute of Biological Engineering's Brahm and Sudha Verma Lifetime Visionary Award in 2008. Now he devotes his full time and energy to the many jobs around the farm. He operates Sweet Air Farm with his wife, Kathy. She's also retired. She's retired from the Hartford County Library System. Greetings from Sweet Air Farm offers readers a front row seat to the heart and humor of farm life. And author Arthur T. Johnson is our guest on This Week in America. Arthur, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. Very pleasure to be here.
I love what you're doing in all of your careers now, full-time in farming. Tell us about your farm, how this has grown over the years since 1972.
Well, it's a small family farm. It's not large at all by any means. It started out in 1972 with 5 acres and some buildings, a barn and some sheds and a house. And through 2 acquisitions after that, it grew to 49 acres. It's a very nice place. It's a quiet place. We hear lots of birds in the morning, and including hawks and toads trilling and stuff like that. We see eagles flying over sometimes. It was a great place to raise a family. We had lots of chances to do everything in a. And the kids had things to do. They learned responsibility. We at one time had a lot of animals. We raised at one time cows and sheep and pigs and ducks, geese, turkeys, and who knows what else, a couple of cats and dogs as well. So some of the stories in the book actually involved animals and what we did to them and what they did to us and so on. Most importantly right now, it's my sanctuary. I feel like at the intersection of my driveway and the road, that's where the rest of the world stops and what I can control a little bit at least starts. So the politics and the wars and the chaos and everything else is out there. And I'm here. And I'm not in full control, of course, because nobody asked me about what weather I want to have and so on. But anyway, if I wanted to plant something in one particular place or build a building one place or other, or move something around, I can do that. And so it's my sanctuary, and it's a good place to be.
The book is Greetings from Sweet Air Farm, a lifetime of stories by Arthur T. Johnson, our guest on the program. Book available at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The Amazon link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's go back to 1972. What was it about living on the farm, of being out there and close to the land, that really appealed to you? Because this was not just choosing real estate, it was a lifestyle that you were choosing.
Well, yes, although I did grow up as a teenager on a farm in a small family farm in upstate New York, and again, outside of a small town called Newfield, New York, and there were 6 kids in the family and a small family, and we weren't very rich at all, but it was a good life, and so I'd been on a farm for a long time, and looking for a place kind of like this that I could do my own thing. I did not want to live in the middle of a city or in a suburb or anything like that if I could possibly help it. So it was a lifestyle. And we had, by that time, we had two girls, and my wife took care of them, for instance, while I was in Vietnam. But when I got back, worked a little bit at Edgewood Arsenal, and then went to the University of Maryland. So back in 1972, it was a time of, it was an interesting time for us. It was a time of, upheaval, because we were, both of us had grown up in upstate New York, and coming down to Maryland, of course, it's a little bit different down here, and the climate's changed, but the climate was a lot more mild down here than it was up there. So it was a good choice we made about moving here.
It's
It was
worked
an
out.
interesting ch Go ahead.
I was going to say, it really has worked out well, hasn't it? And you capture what it's like on the farm. I want to ask you why this book is doing so well, why your stories, the weekly emails that you do, have resonated the way that they have. What is it about farming that people find fascinating, even if they've never lived on a farm?
Well, it's hard for me to answer that, not having been away from that farm that much. But I think there's a certain fascination with the lifestyle that comes with a farm. I think a lot of people probably yearn for a simpler way of life. And although I'm not sure that it is really simpler to live on a farm, people think about it that way, and they're curious about what goes into being a farmer and doing farming activities. So I think it has a lot to do with that. But also the stories that are in the book can not just relate to farming, but they're also about other things, such as animals and animal behavior. And a lot of people are just interested in animals, and not only dogs and cats, but also cows and sheep, and certainly have a lot of sheep stories in it. In that book. So it's I think people can be interested in that sort of thing, because it's more of a general interest than almost anything else.
It's interesting, and you might have just answered that. I was going to ask you why you decided to live on a farm. And it sounds like this would be a great life, but there's a lot of work. It's basically a 24-hour-a-day job, a lot of financial insecurity. You're never quite sure what's going to happen. What was it? What is it that keeps you on the farm? And you've had a great career outside of the farm, but you decided to retire on the farm. What is it about farming that really excites you?
Well, more general than that, I think it's very important for everybody, when they come to retirement age, to have a plan for what they're going to do after retirement, because it's very difficult to stop instantly from the routine that you've had going to a job, and then figuring out what you're going to do. And I have a lot of friends who haven't had that plan. And they were lost for 6 months or a year. Yeah, they had painting of the house to do, and cleaning, and maybe some travel to do, but those things don't last very long. So number one, among everything else, is to have a plan when you're going to retire. Now, in our case, I already had the farm. I already had been working on it part-time, and it was quite interesting, because I used to dread Sunday afternoons, because if I didn't get everything done by that time, then I couldn't get it done during a week. So it was kind of interesting. Now, I have to say, I'm a little older. I have a little bit less ambition and a lot mo less motivation. But still, in all, there's a lot of things that motivate me to keep up what we're doing. These days, especially, it's very hot and humid out here, but still, it gives me a reason to get up in the morning, get outside. It gives me exercise. It gives me a good feeling that I'm producing something that helps other people. And it's a good feeling that I have about things. And I always like to have to grow different kinds of plants and stuff, and I find it still a little bit exciting when some new kind of plant that nobody else in the world, in the area at least, plants, and I can do well with it. It gives me a sense of pride. So there's all those things about it that's good.
You are the head of the farmers market when you take in sort of new fruits that you've come up with, experimenting. Talk about that aspect of your life and being able to create something, not just something that everybody else has, but something that's unique to Sweetair.
Yeah, well, when I first learned about global warming and what it was supposed to do, I started planting some things, for instance, that were only supposed to be able to survive and thrive in warmer climates. And they worked out okay. I have persimmons that way, and I had nobody else around that grows oriental persimmons, but I do. I grow pawpaws, and they do well, and nobody else at the farmers market has them. I actually have two mottos that I usually use. One is to grow things that require no care, and the second thing is to sell things that have no competition. And certainly some of these things, because we're just a small place, and it's very difficult for a real small farm to compete with others. For instance, most of the fruits, well, all the fruits I grow with organic methods,
Yes.
and sometimes even better than organic methods, because organic methods at least allow you to use certain materials and natural materials, and sometimes I don't even use those. But so we have another motto, and that is we sell taste and not looks, because sometimes our fruits, the apples, for instance, will have blemishes on them, or they'll be a little bit misshapen, or not as big as somebody else's. And people often judge the quality of what they're eating by what it looks like.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that's the case. But a lot of people these days, or at least the ones that come to us, are more interested in fruits and food that doesn't have all these chemicals on them. And a lot of people are under the misimpression that you can wash off the chemicals from the object or the fruits and vegetables that you purchase. But these days there are a lot of systemic chemicals that get into the tissues of the fruits and vegetables, and so you're even if you wash it off the surface, you're still getting dosed with it anyway. I never liked that. I never liked even to be associated with that sort of stuff, and so I don't use it.
Arthur T. Johnson, our guest on the program tonight, his book is Greetings from Sweetair Farm, A Lifetime of Stories, available wherever books are sold. We'll send you to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, or stop by your bookstore and ask for a copy of Greetings from Sweetair Farm. Over 200 stories. Arthur, talk a little bit about the variety of stories in there. We have smiles, we have tears. You've got a little bit of everything in this book.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, there's even some recipes in there that
Yes.
my wife Kathy likes to use, and there's some pictures of our farm and family in there. But yeah, there's a little of everything, even some original poems that were composed as we were out there working in the fields and had nothing except idleness to worry to make our mind busy. So there were things like that. So anyway, and they're all different, and they're intentionally they were placed so that stories that were kind of similar are not put next to each other, so that people who read it will have a story about one particular thing and one particular flavor, and then the next story will be a little different flavor, and so on, and the stories for the most part are short enough so that people can read in short periods of time, get what they want, and then put the book away until the next time they have a chance. So the story's not really that long, but they're kind of interesting, and there are about things that some people never have a chance to experience, such as what happens when you go down the road with a bunch of haying equipment and run over a dead possum or whatever it was in the road and had to stop and things like that, or being stopped by a policeman because a bag of garbage came off the truck in front of him and things like that. So there are interesting stories, and I think people will enjoy reading them. I do know that the people at the farmers market do enjoy our weekly email because one of the aspects of that weekly email is we do include some of these stories.
The stories are varied, as Arthur was saying, and I love the photos from the early years. Talk a little bit about that. We see what it was like in 1972, and we can compare how things have progressed over the years. When you look back at the early years, how far have we come with all the modernization of farming? What major changes have you seen?
Well, that's an interesting question that you have, because I wouldn't think that there's a lot of difference for us, because being a small farm, a lot of the modern technology in farming, and certainly a lot going on with artificial intelligence and autonomous vehicles and all that stuff. But a lot of those pieces of equipment are meant for large farms and large factory farms, as a matter of fact. The small farm is kind of going away, as a matter of fact. There's not a lot of people who want to continue that lifestyle anymore because it's hard. We used to bale hay, for instance, with small square bales, and you had to pick them up and you had to put them on a wagon, and you had to move them into the barn, and you had to st stack them in the barn and so on. That's a lot of work, and there's not a lot of people who want to do that anymore. So we don't do that anymore. Once we got rid of our cows, we were able to get rid of our haying equipment, which was a real big holiday for us. But anyway, that the a lot of the a lot of the techniques we use are the same techniques that we used back then. So I would say the technology hasn't changed a lot. What has changed for us a lot more is the fact that we are now empty nesters. Kathy and I are all by ourselves, and so when we used to have children around here, they were given jobs to do when they were off from school, and they helped a lot, and it was really a mutual effort on the part of everybody. Now we don't have that anymore. So unfortunately, all those little trees that I planted many, many years ago all grew up into big trees that take a lot of care, or else no care at all. So I would say that in view of that, probably the biggest change is the family situation more than anything else.
Yes. Our guest is Arthur T. Johnson. He's the author of the new book, Greetings from Sweet Air Farm, A Lifetime of Stories, book available, of course, wherever books are sold. Mentioned the farmer's market before. You are a hit at the farmer's market, been going to one since like 1982. Talk about that. You
Yes.
describe that as a magical place. What is it about a
Oh,
farmer's market that
the farmer's
you're
market
excited
is
about it
wonderful.
now?
It's probably one of the biggest motivation for me keeping on going with the farming effort. But it's a wonderful thing. It in a lot of respects is a place apart from the world again. Once you get into the confines of the farmer's market, and of course you have all the canopies and all that stuff. And it kind of gives a little festive atmosphere when you just look at it. But people come there, and within the confines of the market, that the little children can run free, and sometimes they do, and sometimes you see a little girl, maybe 2 or 3 years old, running down the parking lot where we are, and a parent running after them and not being able to catch up very well. And people bring their dogs on leashes, and the dogs are happy to see each other, and they wag their tails a lot, and the little kids love to pet them, and adults too. And everybody's happy and on their best behavior. People talk to each other, and they get to know the vendors that they use on a personal first name basis. And It's really a very friendly place, and it's a it really is a great place to be. And it in fact, that is my social time, one of my major social times for the week, because we have been there since 1982, as you said. So it's 43 years this year, and that's a long time. And we have seen people that we. And we've made a lot of friends
Oh,
that way.
yes.
And we've seen people get married, have their own kids. We've seen the kids grow up. We've seen some people get sick and some people die and wonder, feel sorry about that. But we also feel very happy about the people who are doing well. And when you see people week after week and you keep up with what they're doing, it's just it's a wonderful place to connect. So it's a really good place.
I love your description, and as soon as I mentioned farmers market, I could see your eyes light up. You were ready to talk about why this is so important to your life and played such a major role in your life since 1982. A couple minutes left in the program. One of the messages that most people are getting out of reading the book Greetings from Sweet Air Farm is we make a mistake when we equate wealth with dollars, and we have to put a dollar sign. Happiness, we need to put a dollar sign. Talk about that aspect of it. Wealth is more than money, isn't it?
Obviously it's how well you feel.
Yes.
And you can feel well with I grew up poor, and although we had family and we had a lot of good times in the family, and certainly there was no equation between wealth and feeling well. Now I'm doing much better thanks to my education and all the opportunities I had along the way. But still, money is a nice thing to have to feel so that you're not pressured into anything. But there's a certain amount of money beyond which it's too much.
Yes.
You can't buy any more happiness. And as people say, all the happiness in the world won't buy money either. So that's going backwards. But
Well, yeah, one of
and,
the. Yeah, finish that thought, please.
no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's one of the lessons in the book. Over 200 stories, recipes there as well. One of those, Kathy's best chili. Talk about that. You've got Kathy's chili recipe in there, and I'm anxious to try that.
Well, you should, because I tell you, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing better. And when it's there, it's hard for me to stop eating that stuff. Yeah,
Well,
really
you.
good, really good.
That and so many more recipes and great stories in the book, Greetings from Sweet Air Farm, A Lifetime of Stories by Arthur T. Johnson, our guest on the program. I'd like to thank King Pages Press, the author's marketing consultant, results-oriented, making sure your work gets the attention it truly deserves, for arranging our conversation with Arthur. The time has gone by quickly. I love what you're doing on the farm, the excitement you have for getting out and working the land, and what it meant to you and your family all of these years. Arthur, thank you for being with us on the program.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America, guest Arthur T. Johnson. The book, once again, is Greetings from Sweet Air Farm, A Lifetime of Stories. Link to his Amazon page on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You are listening to This Week in America, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.